SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Race fans, Series 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, and at our website, too, stevebick.com, midweek. And just actually taking in a couple of, actually football-related. All right, I'll admit it. We're Johnny and I and Will, and we're all reveling in Harold Carmichael being elected to the Hall of Fame. Very, very cool and very happy for Harold, who's waited quite a while for it. And it's funny because Johnny was telling me that Gail, you know, she's in the wine merchant industry. She was at some wine function last night with Carmichael, Vermeel, they said Ray Didinger was there. The whole big, I guess Vermeel's got wine that he's merchandising. But I will tie this to racing because I tried to name a horse. Did I tell this story? I tried to name this name a horse years ago after Harold, and I got to talk to him. He's working with the Eagles, and we had the horse that ultimately ended up with a very good name, Lloyd Dobler. But first I tried to name him Harold Carmichael, and I had to get permission. And I called the Eagles, and they you know, Harold was, I think, doing community liaison work, that kind of thing. And he just did not really get the whole concept. he said, well, what do I have to do? I said, nothing. You have to do anything. I'll send you a little permission slip, and you just sign it and say it's okay that we're naming a horse after you. He said, I don't know. Let me call my agent. Can you call my agent, explain it to him, and see, let him, he'll make the decision. And he goes, it sounds nice. I said, Harold, it's a big honor. We're trying to name a horse after you. and actually, it was right by the deadline, too. It was like January. It was near the end of January. And so I couldn't get a hold of his agent, and I ended up coming up with Lloyd Dobler. And that was well-received, actually. Maybe I can circle back. Maybe the next one we get. A tall, leggy, the next tall, leggy colt that comes our way, we will name Harold Carmichael. Lloyd Dobler had talent. That was a hard luck horse in a lot of ways. He only got to us because he had colicked and had colic surgery before the yearling sale that year. So they couldn't, he was recovering from colic surgery, and they couldn't. Plus, he had a scar. So couldn't put him through the ring, and we worked with Case Clay and the Three Chimneys and Mrs. Chapman, and he was a Smarty Jones. He's beautiful. He still is my favorite of the horses we had. He was my absolute favorite, and I mean as handsome and had just a really, I mean, he was cut out to be a nice horse, and he just had the worst luck over and over again. He ran into Al Gold's very good horse, Rule by Night, in his debut, and then in his second start. And this is the toughest. Is one of the game is so frustrating. This was one of the things that it doesn't haunt, but Lloyd got beat, just an absolute, zop. With Mig on board, and if he had won that photo, it would have turned out to have been Rich's last career win. And the fact that Mig even rode was miraculous, because he was, you know, he had broken vertebrae, he had a broken neck, broken back. I mean, it was amazing. And that might have changed things. And then in his next start after that, he got hurt. He wrenched something in his back and he never won. You earned some money actually, but he didn't win. But then he's gone on to a nice kind of a, you know, casual show ring career and made the his adoptive parent very happy. I think the name has been released too. And for those of you saying, "Well, what's so Lloyd Dobler? Say anything, John Cusack character, and yeah. So he could have been Harold Carmichael. He ended up being Lloyd Dobler. Sale results, don't have to go too deep into it from yesterday, but a good day yesterday. And some big numbers late and really drove things. The broodmares and broodmare prospects, or racing prospects in some cases. Anaya Alreb, bought by James Schneck, and the Uncle Mo, 4-year-old, $640,000. There was Confidently, who could be Glenn Hill liquidating some mares and some racing prospects. Confidently could easily end up going on with it as a 4-year-old. We'll see. $560,000 also to Schenck. And then Glen Hills Inflamed, who's in foal to Tapiture, she sold for $525,000. Shade Farm. So off to Japan for her. She's an unusual heat, capable of getting any kind of horse. And many others that, fetched square numbers. I see that Mrs. Weber sold Cry and Catch Me, who's now 15. And Eaton Bloodstock bought her $300,000, and I've got a photo with Cry and Catch Me. I think it's Saratoga. In fact, I think I'm decked out in my chef jacket. Ran over from the barbecue. You had a number of the yearlings drive things too, and you had a Mastery Filly bought by Andre Lynch, $365,000, bred by the Newman Group. Warfront Filly, yesterday was the colts. Lead engine for the yearlings yesterday were fillies. Warfront Filly, $345,000. Practical Joke, popping up on a regular basis, $320,000. Larry Best swinging into action there. So very good, very good second day. And things continue. In less than an hour, we'll talk to Sid from, I suppose, the sales grounds or close by. I know that he's also been going around to the farms and getting, some Stallion Show activity in while he's there as well. So we'll catch up on more sales stuff and as we inch closer toward the breeding season with Sid swinging through. We've got an interesting opening visit after the first break, because Keith Shamblin is going to visit and then Pete. And last week we talked about the situation that was getting examined by NHC officialdom, And there was a disqualification, and Keith's going to explain it. No point for me to dive into it here, but we'll let Keith explain. And you know, this we touched on it a little bit with Pete last week. So we'll hear from Keith. He'll explain what transpired and why action was taken. But you know, this has been an important subplot, really, to the whole sales contest landscape. And certainly in light of what has gone on the last several days involving the Astros and the residual fallout from everything associated with that, it's a topic that has gotten plenty of attention, and just in terms of fairness and openness and doing the right thing. And whenever there's money involved, right, there's going to be the potential for edge taking and corner cutting. The Astros situation is very complex and fascinating, frankly. I just kind of, absorbing it all, but, there's a lot of conflated topics that are tying into it, including the Pete Rose situation, and they're how related are they? I don't know. That's a topic that, it doesn't seem like there's ever going to be. I don't know. You understand. You always understand that when it comes to the Pete Rose thing. You understand both perspectives. But I don't know. I don't know. And the debate about how do you view the Astro legacy, quote unquote? I don't know. They still have to score runs or prevent runs. I don't know. It's a very unusual circumstance. I think it's awfully convenient for the owner to say, oh no, it doesn't take away from our championship at all. I don't know. We'll let Keith explain what went on. And I only know the top line. So later we'll talk to Andrew Lerner. We'll get Andrew in here and celebrate his Queen Bee to you. I think Alan Foreman, late in the show. Alan traveling right now, but you may have seen the release. The match 2020. The purse is even bigger. And should be another. Brought it up yesterday with Jerry Rop. And although Jerry seems very happy with the Maryland company and the West Virginia company that he's been keeping for Anna's Bandit. That was a lot of fun yesterday with both Brian Michael and with Jerry celebrating the 2-9 win 2019 success stories. It was really cool. So. Chad Chexnader is going to join us too. And he'll look at the Fairgrounds card for Saturday. There is, there's some weather threat, and you know, you do have those cross entries that I mentioned the other day, and boy, right now it says, last I checked, was 60% chance of rain. And let's get an update. Well, now it's 50%. And it does seem like some of it is going to, it looks like it's moved up more into Friday evening and into early Saturday morning. So maybe they're going to dodge the bullet because, boy, it's just too nice of a card, you know, to have a wet track, although all that does is contribute to those 10 horses that are coming from a wet track out of the 14. So it only makes it more difficult to figure out who, you know, who might continue on. So, but we'll get an exam and chat will be on the backstretch. I wanted to get this in because tomorrow I've got this cataract surgery now. And as I told you yesterday, I was on the way to the specialist, and the odyssey continues with this eye. And it was tomorrow or not until, I can't even tell you, not until maybe after Preakness, or maybe there wouldn't have been a window after I got back from, after Arkansas either. This was the only window, because I've got, there's about a 30-day period where he needs to see me, you know, a few times. So tomorrow, and I am excited about one thing. He thinks he can fix the stigmatism in my left eye that I've always had with a different lens that they're going to put in, not just the regular lens. So, yeah, and I've got to go back down to the people love that. It's pretty funny. People love that tweet yesterday when I was sitting in the doctor's office. I got to get you got to get clearance for the surgery, and a kid comes in and you get a name and this and that and birth date, and he goes 8/8/88. And I said, wow. When he sat down, actually right near me. And I said, 8/8/88. He says, yeah. I said, that's the coolest birthday ever. And then it turns out it's like a million things happened. It was supposed to be I didn't know that. I don't remember that at all. It was supposed to be the first night game at Wrigley Field, but they got rained out. But the lights were on for three innings. So it was the first time the lights were put on at Wrigley for a game. And then I'm just seeing this morning, Gretzky was traded to the Kings on 8/8/88. If this kid was Asian, I know that. Remember the Asian marriages was a big deal. They loved the number 8. 4 is bad luck in Asian culture. 8 is good luck, and all kinds of young couples wanted to get married on 8/8/88. I do remember that. People got a big kick out of it. Anyway, I got to go back there today too. So. The medical odyssey continues. Keith Chamblin joins us. The eyes have it. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. BYK to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American fall crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Since I haven't talked to you, I dream about your baby blues and wonder why you stopped getting high. Even though we were just friends, I think of us as bookends and I'm gonna love you till I die. And you think you're going to heaven, and that I'm going to hell, and that I'm gonna keep on dancing till I hear that ringing bell. Heads gonna roll, baby.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes plus into hour one, and Jenny Lewis, head's going to roll, and Casey sent me a text as we were coming back from the break. He said, I'm not sure what this bump is, and the minute I heard it, I thought, oh, that is incredibly appropriate, because heads are going to roll when you collude on on contest tickets, and Keith Shamblin joins us from NTRA. Keith, good morning.
Happy New Year. Good to talk
Happy,
to you,
healthy.
Keith.
Absolutely. Keith, last week, Pete and I, and Pete's going to join us afterward, we talked a little bit about what was happening, and then literally hours later after we got off the air, the word came down that there was a DQ involved. Explain what transpired here and you know, the motivation for taking the kind of stand that you had to take.
Well, you know, you're right. The year got off to an interesting start. The very first contest run on the first Sunday of the year, January 5th, we had a situation where we had a father-daughter, a father and daughter play in two different NHC qualifiers, one on horse players, one on horseturnies.com, and they had identical selections, and the daughter qualified into the NHC in the contest she played in, and the father would have qualified into the NHC if he could have, but he already had two entries, so he got tour points for his high finish in the contest that he played in. Quickly became apparent to those watching those contests and looking at the picks that they were identical. We were notified, and that's when we began to look at the situation, analyze the play, the history of play among the individuals, And after conferring with a players committee, NHC players committee that we've had for a number of years and who helped us put in some ethics and collusion rules into the NHC contests and the NHC tour, we determined that that these individuals needed to be disqualified and that there was a and this was, in fact, reached the definition of our collusion and crossed the path or crossed the line as it relates to our ethics policies. We notified the individual and or individuals and gave them a chance to respond. Response primarily focused on the fact that this is a father, this is a daughter. Father's trying to mentor the daughter along, and they happen to have the same selections for these races, these contests, because they ended up liking the same horses. At the end of the day, even if you're, you know, we concluded at least that if you're mentoring your child or significant other, regardless of who it is, it's one thing to mentor, it's another thing to actually, you know, make those selections on behalf of the individual. It's almost like you would be preparing your child to take a test, helping them get ready for it, but then actually taking the test for them, or vice versa. You know, so in our minds, it was a clear case, had to be dealt with. Doesn't really matter who the individuals are that were involved, although I know the names are out there in social media, and of course they were on the leaderboard of those specific contests, and then suddenly they were dropped from the leaderboard. But really what we're trying to do is protect the whole NHC Tour community of about 5,000 players that look to us to enforce the rules. And you know, when we talked about putting in a collusion policy a couple of years ago with the NHC Players Committee, you know, my only comment at the conclusion of our discussions was, if we're going to put these rules in, we have to be in a position where we can enforce them. And that's what we're trying to do with regard to these activities that took place on January 5th. So we did a lot of did quite a bit of looking under the hood. They were played from the same IP address. One individual didn't really become active until the other one had maxed out his entries into the NHC, same credit card, same address. As I said, same IP address, just a lot of things pointing to collusive behavior that we hadn't seen in other instances that we've examined. So we took a position, notified the individuals, and we'll be communicating to the entire NHC Tour and specifically to those who have qualified to the NHC here in the next week or so of what we did and remind them about our ethics and collusion policies as we move into the NHC, because we will be watching, we will be posting everybody's selections after this year's NHC. So it'll all be very transparent, not in the open, and anybody can look at anybody's place.
Well, and so essentially, I mean, it you know, because there are, you know, there's certainly opportunities for people to play multiple cards, multiple tickets, and you know, that includes, you know, getting to NHC and having two qualifies, but this takes it, you know, to another level, and you feel badly to some degree because you don't know how often. I mean, I'll give you an example with Tina. You know, Tina wants to play Beat the Host, so she goes through and asks me who I like, and she ends up making her own plays. I don't play myself, but I do understand the potential tie-in to giving somebody a degree of advice. But when it's a blanket, identical, set of selections, it's pretty tough to argue that there's, that there's individual input going on.
There's no question. That's obviously what caught our attention originally. But then again, as we started to look at it more closely, we saw a pattern of activity that led us to believe that this was, there's not much subjectivity to this, although there's always a little bit of subjectivity, which is why we wanted to move slowly and look at this from a lot of different angles and, examine at the activity that had been occurring outside of these contests. But we think we made the right decision. And again, it's not about these two. It's about all the others that are part of this community. And by the way, we want to encourage family play. We want to encourage play by husbands and wives. We absolutely want to encourage getting more female participation in the NHC and in contests in general throughout the year. So this really isn't about a husband, a father, and a daughter, or it wouldn't be about a husband and a wife. It's more about, what happened and the fact that the plays were identical, came from the same IP address, et cetera, et cetera. But goodness knows we need, we certainly would welcome more family participation. And in fact, as you well know, that's the way a lot of people come into this game, is through moms and dads and uncles, brothers and sisters that they go to the track with, and they become lifelong fans. It's very much a family sport. So we'd like for it to be the same in the contest world as well.
This came to light online, right? That became apparent from the displays of selections and observers that kind of made the connection.
No doubt, and there was some social media chatter, and that caught our attention. In talking to contest operator and others, became apparent that we needed to examine this a little more closely to find out what exactly happened, and that's what we did. But it did all start from some social media chatter, which is terrific. That's what led us down a path that eventually led to this disqualification, and I think a wake-up call for others who might be considering this type of activity. We are watching, and we're going to do everything we can to prevent this kind of play from occurring going forward. So, hopefully something good comes out of this. I don't think this type of activity is widespread in the type of contest like the National Horse Players Championship in Las Vegas, where you have to check, where you have to select, 18 races a day, some mandatory, some optional, over two and a half days. I don't think this is widespread at the NHC. I don't, probably not nearly as widespread as it is as in cash contests. But at the same time, it does happen. We acknowledge that, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to prevent it from happening or becoming widespread in the future.
Now, it's one of the areas BCBC, dealt with a different, scenario, and there's ongoing challenges, Keith, to be on the look out and you just, you know, you would think, you would hope that the fairness, the concept of, you know, equal play for all and fairness, you know, for everybody, that should really be at the heart of this. You know, it's a little disheartening, frankly, to have to deal with it.
Well, it's impossible to police everything, but, you know, maintaining the integrity of the NHC is important to the players, and it's extremely important to the NTRA and the NHC. So, you know, this year, once again, everybody will have to sign a statement prior to the NHC stating that they understand and will obey the rules, including the rules on collusion. Again, the selections will be made public after the event for everyone to review. You know, we just want everybody to feel like they have a fair shake. A lot of people spend a lot of money trying to qualify to the NHC every year, and we want it to be a fun and positive experience for everyone, not only at the NHC, but, you know, during the year when they're participating in contest play, whether that be at a bricks and mortar facility or online. So, you know, this is really job one for us, and we pay attention to this, and if it happens again, we'll take the same sort of action if needed.
Fair enough. Finally, Keith, getting set here, and we're getting close, getting to be the late hours for people that are still looking to qualify, but there's opportunities left, and that includes even right at Bally's the day before with the first chance, last chance.
Absolutely, and this year we doubled the number of guaranteed spots. We're guaranteeing that we'll be giving away 10 spots in the last chance, first chance contest at Bally's on February 6th. We've got about 50, a little over 50 seats that are still in play at contests around the country. And we've got 50 spots that will be given away as part of the NHC Tour Leaderboard to those individuals who haven't already qualified for the NHC, but finish in the top 50 based on tour points. So, you know, there's several hundred players that are still in the mix for those 50 spots as being an NHC tour point leader. And then there's quite a bit of play around the country that remains before we get to that, that big last chance, first chance in Vegas. So plenty of opportunities. It should be a great event. We're looking at a record prize pool of just shy of $3 million. If we get lucky, we might even hit it. And going to have a great crowd, great new location at Bally's. We'll be in a 40,000-square-foot ballroom. You know, every single player will be in there. It should be a lot of energy and excitement. And we're looking forward to having you and Pete at the event to cover it throughout the 3 days. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, be there midweek, and start broadcasting Wednesday from Vegas, and we'll have maybe a new champion. We're still waiting for the first repeat opportunity. I know Scott Cole's looking forward, I'm sure, to going to Gulfstream and being part of the Eclipse Awards as well, and then we'll put them all together, and we'll see if we can't get that elusive first-time repeat winner, or just any of the champions from over the years. If it feels like that'll happen the longer we go. And then there's a lot of first-timers. I've heard, gotten a lot of emails, people that have qualified for the first time and are really excited and looking forward to it. And it's just always a thrilling 3 days, and the atmosphere just terrific, and of course you're making it possible for family and friends to be on hand with all that extra room, you know, all the room that the new facility is offering. So it should be even better than there's anything wrong with the Treasure Island additions, but this feels like it's going to put the spurs to the atmosphere.
I sure hope so. That's our goal every year, is to somehow, some way, improve the event from the previous year. And this is, you know, as we say each year when we kind of go through and do a post-event recap, we want to walk it forward every year if we can. And I think everybody's going to enjoy Bally's. We love the Treasure Island. We just simply outgrew it. So that's a nice problem to have, and we've landed in, a terrific spot. I think people are going to like, the participants will love the setup, plenty of room, plenty of opportunity to spread out. We're going to move the final table, be in the center of the ballroom this year, be on display all 3 days, so everybody can kind of look and see where they want to try to get to on the final afternoon. So it should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to it.
Keith, I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to, you know, explain what transpired last week to everybody as well. And I'll probably see you next time I talk to you.
I hope so. Looking forward to be back on when we're out in Las Vegas.
You got it. Keith Chamblin, everybody, NTRA and the NHC. And in fact, at horseplayers.com, Saturday, there's a 5-seat opportunity. Right on Saturday, and as we talked the other day, we had the fun visit with Chris Katulak, Fonner Park involved. I didn't see the outcome, actually. I've got to go look for that. Pete's going to join us next, and I'm going to have to look for the winner from Hialeah. That was the big buildup for Hialeah, so. I'm curious about they had so much publicity, and then I didn't see any kind of a press release about who won. All right. Well, we'll take the break here, and Pete will join us when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's BYK to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes at the top of the hour. We got 15 minutes to spend with Pete Fornatale. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I've been listening. Good stuff so far. Always enjoyable to hear what Keith has to say and some really interesting information so far on the show today.
Well, it just felt important. And, it's one of those scenarios where you understand what transpired. You just wish it didn't have to go down that way.
I have an important note on that. I'll piggyback right away to say that I agree, but I'll also say until this decision by the NTRA and its players committee, stuff like this has almost been tacitly condoned up to a point. The number one thing I feel like you can do to stop it is to act decisively as they did. So major props. When I was on here last week sort of complaining about this through the lens of looking at that similar situation in Daily Fantasy, I did not expect any action to be taken. So I was really heartened to see what's going to discourage this from happening is this exact thing. So it's unfortunate, but I think it's definitely better than sticking the hand and in doing so tacitly condoning it, as I've seen some examples of it. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not even talking about the NCRA, but in certain contests in the past, I have seen the head in the sand. Oh, it'd be so unpleasant to talk about. Let's just ignore it. Sometimes you got to talk about these unpleasant things to try to get rid of them. And to me, a point that, Keith probably didn't want to pat himself on the back too much, which is understandable. But what I would say is that by taking this action, one of the best things it does is to provide a real deterrent from people. I mean, he made the case very clear when you have one player who doesn't start till the other's double qualified and the same picks and the same IP address. If that's not a DQ, it's the Wild West. So I think it's a statement. And then Keith dropped a little, bombshell is strong, but when you cover the contest world, I'm going to go ahead and say it was a bombshell. The idea that following the lead of the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, that now the NHC plays are going to be published. And I think it's great. I mean, there may be some gray stuff in there. It may lead to some conversations. It's not easy to exactly say, to know where the line is in terms of what's permissible and what's not. And there's going to be probably conversations about that when we see these NHC plays published come late February or March or whenever it is. But you need to have a mechanism in place to take these obvious examples of play outside the rules and DQ them. Props to them for doing that here and for really sending a message that that's going to be the case if something similar happens at the NHC as well.
Well, and I brought up the point that it was brought to light, by the chatter and the observation of other players. And, it just feels like it's such an unwieldy kind of a challenge, to keep track of this. And so I suppose the other players helping police, is a positive. Because I don't know otherwise, how do you make those tie-ins?
Yeah, I think there are some things you can do in real time to audit the people that are going to end up at the final table. But right, in terms of trying to look at somebody else in the field and maybe look at some behavior that was outside the rules, you're not going to be able to do that during an event like the NHC. I do think they're in good position to police, maybe not even everybody in the prize pool, but certainly everybody who's going to be at the final table, and maybe everybody in the prize pool, because you do have an overnight before the final table occurs. But in terms of the big picture of life, the ability to have those plays published and have players going through and looking at them, I think this is going to lead it's not always going to be easy. I mean, I could see people citing a slippery slope and all that. But, I mean, to me, it's just a case where the good far outweighs the bad. But we've had instances in the past in tournaments of some pretty obvious beard situations going pretty far. And I don't like the idea that there'd be no mechanism to deal with that. And at least if you're gonna, family play takes all different shapes and sizes, right? There's plenty of families who are completely within the rules. And it'd be nice, though, to have a mechanism for those instances where that is not the case to be able to do something about it. So I think these are steps in the right direction. And it's the kind of thing where there may be some thorny conversations, but it's still better than having a situation where you have right now, before any of this happened, I was always feeling like the NHC was vulnerable to the fact that you could have an obvious cheating situation and no mechanism to deal with it. And now there is. And to me, that positive outweighs any potential negatives about slippery slopes and thorny conversations. And I would think the people who, anybody who'd be like totally against what happened here is probably protecting their own interests because they're doing something kind of shady, because this situation is so obviously this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, and I wanted Keith to sort of lay out the parameters, and because they are out there, and it's not, you know, it's not like it's not, it's hidden from view. A few of the remaining opportunities, and I brought that up with Keith. It was good to know that there's an expanded opportunity in the last chance, first chance, and in fact, there's already some of that going on. Michelle Ravencraft letting me know that Evan Friedman won the Hialeah contest, and he's going to save it for next year. He's saving that seat for next year. And at Tampa this weekend, John Kaiser and William Recio, and they're using it this year. They had the choices as well at Tampa. And so there's three from this past weekend, and five opportunities online at horseplayers.com on Saturday.
We've got the Pegasus contest coming up. People are going to be paying attention to that. Rules a little bit different this year. Maybe might be a case of the corporate term right-sizing as opposed to downsizing. The whole prize pool isn't being put up this year, which I suppose some players will lament. But I do love the fact that the prize pool is still being seeded, still a very good opportunity, chance to play online as well as in person at Gulfstream Park. I'm very much looking forward to following that contest over Pegasus weekend, and hopefully we'll get to do an interview with the winner. We've had some good stories in the 2 years of that contest, with Preston Sims winning last year, and then, of course, Eddie Olczyk winning the inaugural. Will be interesting to see what happens down there.
Well, and for those, again, doing your planning, in addition to Pegasus, and I know that there's some Pegasus qualifiers going on all, you know, now through the weekend, but you've also got Monmouth. You got two more seats at Monmouth coming up on the 25th, the Fawner 2-day contest for a seat that we've talked about, and we'll reiterate, Chris Katulak, nice enough to offer listeners, any listeners that want to go to Fawner, he will give you put up the $75 entry. So listeners, get a hold of us. You can tweet me or email me, and Chris, nice enough to offer up a handful of those. So take advantage.
That's very cool. Yeah, that's very cool. I'm glad to see them back in the game. We talked about that a little bit last week, that it's nice to see a place like that that's, you know, so important. If you live in that area and are a horse player, and then getting to have representation at an event like the NHC, that's pretty cool. And I thought that was a smart way of Chris to give a little extra push to get folks to come out and compete at Fawner.
Sam Houston, too, on their big Sunday. They've got the Houston Ladies Classic and the Connolly on Sunday, the 26th. They've got two seats and tour points. So those are some of the on-sites between now and the end of the month. And then bam, you're staring at February, and then you're really running out of real estate before the start of the big dance on the 7th. But on the 6th, they're gonna give a bunch of opportunities away. So we should have a really fun first chance, last chance contest on the
6th. I'll look into the details. The terms, when that tournament was at Treasure Island, it bounced all over the place in terms of like what the expectation was, how much was being held out of the prize pool. I'm curious to get that info. That's certainly a nice amount of guaranteed seats. Hopefully it's the kind of thing where it's all entry funded. We'll do a little bit of research on that, but that could be a great opportunity. I was super relieved, Steve, to see, I learned yesterday that Perrin's recital for her musical theater class, which had potential to conflict with the NHC, beautiful, February 4th. I can see her in her production of Oliver and head out the next day. Very excited.
Who's she playing in Oliver?
It's really it's more of a group choral aspect. Her biggest role is like a chip off the old block. She's the narrator.
Oh, that's cool. All right, so she's not Nancy. All right, Nancy, I guess Nancy's the big female role.
This is a glossed-over version of Oliver. We're not getting all the
There won't be waifs. There's no waifs, and there's no pickpocketing going on.
There are pickpockets, but the fate of there isn't the ill fate for some key characters. But how about me being spoiler conscious about Oliver all these years?
Well done. Too funny. I love it. Well, what else? We got a couple of minutes just to wrap up, and I know you got taping to do at the top of the hour.
Indeed. We're having some fun stuff going on the network. I'm working on a new horse racing book, Steve, and it's going to be it's a little bit the third in a trilogy with the first racing book I ever did years ago, Six Secrets of Successful Bettors, which was interviews with horse players sort of integrated around the habits that unite them. Winning contest player was a similar idea, but specifically geared towards contest. This time around, I wanted to sit down for even more in-depth interviews with players, and then I'm going to present it with each player as a chapter, almost like extended profiles, not that different than the pieces I used to write for DRF, but getting a chance to go a little bit deeper and meet these folks. And of course, with my years on the scene now, I've developed more relationships. I feel like I'm getting better stuff than ever out of some of these top level horse players. And a friend of mine, right when I left DRF, he's a friend now. He wasn't a friend at the time. But at that time, he was a random guy, called me and had a vision for a book like this, and basically hired me to help write and publish it. A guy named Matt Miller out of Chicago. And I'm deep into it now. And what I've decided to do, the basis interviews are, I'm also posting as podcasts. So, for example, today I have on tap Sean Borman, professional player out of Lexington, Kentucky. I'm just going to talk to him about his journey in the game and strengths and weaknesses and business plan and his most memorable day playing the horses and present that as some cool audio content. So over the next few weeks, you're going to be seeing, in addition to the normal shows I do with JK, some long sit-downs with some pretty interesting horse players. It should be very fun.
That sounds great. That's there's always something fruitful in there for people no matter what their level of play and accomplishment.
I always say when you're listening to people, the likes of Mike Maloney and Paul Matisse and Dave Gutfreund and so many others, you can't help but learn something. You don't need to agree with them, but you can't help but learn something when these people who've been in the game and accomplished the things they have in the game and are generous and willing to open up about their methods, their highs and lows. It's just almost by osmosis you pick things up, and then
absolutely.
And it's really so much more than that, but if nothing else, you've got that element as well.
Yeah, I'll look forward to it. Excellent. Is there a working title?
Yeah, I'm going with Heavy Irony. I think I'm going to call it Easy Game.
That's great. That's great, because that's a refrain that's so often heard. Easy Game.
And then the subtitle will be more accurate, something about conversations with the world's greatest horse players. We'll figure it out. It's a work in progress, but I
love
the idea of going with heavy irony for the title.
That's catchy. It's good. It's good. Fate, I appreciate it, and we'll catch up. We'll catch up next week, and we're inching closer.
It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Travel booked, restaurant reservations made, and I just got to bring a full complement of lozenges and tea with honey, so we can get through the 20 odd hours of broadcast.
Absolutely. We'll start from Vegas actually midweek. I get there on the Tuesday after coming from L.A. and the Bob Lewis. We'll talk to Pete next. Looms Boldly, of course, on Twitter and in the Money Players podcast. Let's take top of the hour break. We'll come back and check in with Sid. He's at the sale, and we'll see what the buzz is there. It's such an interesting, eclectic mix of activity between brood mares of various ages at the various stages of their careers delivering foals, and then the ones that are in foal with maybe young splashy flashy stallions. Some racing prospects came to light yesterday as well, and then there's the whole short yearling market and what's going on there. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, joins us next. Chad Schexnader is going to visit right from the backstretch at Fairgrounds. And word comes, our friend Dave Kaiser just sent me a note. Word has come that Lynn's Map, after the bad draw, is going to bypass. So we got our first scratch out of the LeCompte. And Lynn's Map is going to wait for the Smarty Jones. So there's your first defection. So we're down to 13 for now. I suppose that Mark Cassie had enough last year, right? Wasn't War of Will, what was he outposted? Was he outposted in the Risen Star or the Louisiana Derby? I remember him being outposted in, I think, in one of them. Right? Wasn't he out wide? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what else Chad's got on that big card. I wanted to get some on because Marcus couldn't join us today, so I reached for Chad. We'll try to do Friday. I just don't know what to expect from this surgery tomorrow, so I certainly don't want to miss Friday. All right, Sid Fernando joins us next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.